In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, there is nothing particular in the announcements today that you cannot read for yourselves. I do want to point out to you, however, one of the announcements, and that is with reference to the bulletins that will be showing up for the next 4 weeks. Of course, you will not get these bulletins until next month. You got the first one this morning. That's just the way it worked out, and that's the way I have to present it to you. But I do not want you to, I want you to keep this bulletin carefully so that when all of the others present themselves, that you will read the whole discussion straight through and get the message that we are trying so hard to put across. I am not going to spend time on this morning's gospel. You know very well that it's perhaps one of my favorite gospels, and that I have talked about it on numerous occasions. And so I will leave it at that and remind you to remind yourselves of the things that I have said about this particular gospel at earlier times. But I do want to, perhaps in a way, to prepare you for the reading of these bulletins as they when they present themselves to you. There is much that is said, and there's even much more that is not said. And I think that we who are trying to live a strict Catholicism are just as much prey to the problem that I am working on, have been working on, as those other members who do not belong, or the members rather, of other denominations. We have all developed, perhaps by the teaching, mainly by the teaching, we have all developed a very uncertain, a very unreal, improper idea of the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe that we have developed over the years an emphasis on the, and please understand that I'm saying this incorrectly, I think we have placed an overemphasis on the person, the human person of Jesus Christ. And that's not right. And we've looked to the perfections of the person of Jesus Christ to the damage of going beyond his personal imperfections to the extent that his personal imperfections, looking at him from the point of a human being, that his personal imperfections that we are stressing can do no more than lift us up to personal perfection. We don't go any higher than this, because we're looking at the man Jesus. And we have to watch out about that. We have to watch out about the way we use the name Jesus. As a matter of fact, I would like to go on record as saying that I disapprove of the use of the word Jesus alone, just Jesus, because it is stressing the human Jesus. And it points out to us all of the nice things, all of the wonderful things, all of the good things, all of the prudent things, all of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things of our blessed Lord. But we forget that the reason why he used his humanity, what was the reason why he used his humanity? Was our Lord's trip to earth, was it, could I say, primarily to bring salvation to us? Primarily. No. I saw heads go up and down, because that's the normal conception of our Lord. Oh yes, don't understand for a second that I am, don't misunderstand or think that I am downplaying the redemption, heavens forbid. That would be blasphemy, among other things. But our blessed Lord's, purpose of equal value was to show us how to make use of his redemption. If he had not showed us how to do it, his redemption would have been futile. It would have amounted to a row of pins. He had to teach us and show us and present to us the method used. What we are after, and what we must continue to be after, is our sanctification. And if his trip to earth does not bring about our sanctification, then his whole effort was futile. We have to penetrate the humanity of Christ and reach out and touch the divinity in Christ. If we stress only Jesus, and our temptation is, you know, we are Jesus people, and that's wrong. I do not say this in disrespect. Heaven forbid that I say this in disrespect. But you know that our non-Catholic friends and neighbors and brothers are very heavy on Jesus. And some of our Catholic evangelizers are also very heavy on Jesus. And if you look carefully at our Catholic evangelizers, you will see that they are not taking us above and beyond the human characteristics of Jesus Christ. And many of these people, when they read sacred scripture, I dare say that they get about as much out of sacred scripture as they would in the reading of Alice in Wonderland. Sacred scripture is very beautiful, is very fanciful, and you could actually read all of sacred scripture and miss the point altogether. All of sacred scripture, and even in today's gospel and so on, the beauty of Christ, we could read all of these and end up with nothing more than just that Christ was an absolutely wonderful person and I wish to imitate Christ. And that's not good enough. Because all we would be doing is imitating. The thing that we have missed out on completely, and I complain that this is a fact in 99% of traditional centers today, that we consider that which is the spiritual life, the interior life, we're presenting nothing more than apologetics. That's all. My beloved people, apologetics, by the way, is the defense of Catholic doctrine. It is not my place at this moment in my life to stand before you and defend Catholic doctrine. I can defend Catholic doctrine till the cows come fly over the moon and still lose my soul. Catholic doctrine does not directly have effect on the salvation of my soul. And these people stand in front of us and they teach us only to defend what my purpose has to be as a preacher, and that is I have to reach and touch your interior religious life. And until I do so, I'm a failure. And until you reach out back, you're a failure. You've heard me say before that a monk, a man, can become a monk and live in a religious community for 20, 30, 40, 50 years longer, and be in that religious community an absolute example of obedience to the extent that people could write books about his obedience, and still that man could go to hell. Why? Because all he is doing is obeying. He is not obedient. You get the difference. There's a very great difference between obeying, you have got to do this or you will suffer the result of my punishment. You have got to obey me. And so you obey me. That doesn't mean you're obedient. Obeying is you to save your hide. We have got to be, we have to learn the interior reasons for our being here. And this is what I'm trying constantly to present to you. We do not need to be nourished, or rather we should not seek our nourishment from all of these things and people and places and seers and everything that's going on and on and on and on, being presented to hungry people. That's not where it is. The only place I can find salvation for me is inside of me. That's where I have to look. Because I have to look at the interior man, and I have got to correct the interior man. And I have got to put into perspective the interior person, the interior man. And all of these other things are external and exterior in importance as far as my own personal salvation goes. The catechism. Oh, how we look at the catechism, and we must. We have to know the catechism. But we could know the catechism from cover to cover and still go to hell. The catechism is not, I repeat, the catechism is not a book on the interior life. The catechism does not deal with the interior life. The catechism is not a spiritual reading book. I know if you go back into the early bulletins of ours, you will find that we did spend time on the catechism, and that was timely. And we should have spent time on the catechism. That's done. It is over. Put it aside. Forget about it. The catechism is just simply the do's and the don'ts. Put a period there. Studying the catechism is hardly more than learning all the rules and regulations concerning geometry. I'm not being disrespectful, but today the catechism is being presented. Why is it being presented us along apologetics? Because it is easy to talk about, to tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other thing. It's very easy to get up and bawl people out. You know, very easy to do that. It's very easy to give out rules. I attended a lecture once that was supposed to be a very highly spiritual lecture, and it ended up being a lecture on how to meditate. And for over an hour, I suppose, I felt like I was sitting in an algebra class. And for all that I got out of it was a few rules that have to be followed. My beloved people, we are not governed by rules. We cannot be governed by rules. Because if we are, it is the big stick that's hanging over your head, and you watch it every, if I do this, I'm going to hell. If I do that, I commit a sin. If I do the other thing, I will gain an indulgence. If I do this, I will lose the indulgence. And every day, what you're doing is keeping a record of what you have done and what you haven't done. And our children are not only going to bolt against that, they are bolting against that, and they have bolted against that. And we lose our children because our religion is not a whole mess of what I can do and what I can't do. As long as our children are under our thumbs, we get away with it. And they live a perfect life of discipline, 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 and discipline. As soon as they get past the age where they can talk back, where are they? They're gone. Why? Because they have not learned what it is to be a spiritual person. Our whole world is infected with this. Our whole world has lost the interior man. Our whole world is not interested in the interior man. Our whole world could care less. And as a consequence, the whole idea today is, let us eat, let us drink, let's be merry as long as we live. That's all. And if you don't like somebody, if you don't agree with somebody, all you got to do is walk into that room with a shotgun and start shooting people. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Because this present existence is everything I've got to them. This present existence. After this is over, it's all over. Animals are like that, are they not? They could care less. An animal does not care for the well-being of its brother animals. The animal is only interested in his own stomach and what he can find to put in his own stomach. And that's all that our children know today. And they think nothing of going out and shooting up people. You know, it happened again this past week, didn't it? Almost every time I come down here, there's a new shooting that has taken place. We have got, at least in ourselves, turn it around. No, we're not going to go out and persuade all the world. We're not going to go out and conquer the world. We have to start it with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You keep quiet. You make sense. You try to convert yourself. And these next four bulletins are going to be devoted to this. And also, we do send these bulletins out pretty much all over the country now. And it's going to draw some fire, because they don't stop at attacking anybody who fails in his job. And my job is not to instruct you, not to make you intelligent. You can go to the computer for that. The computer can give you all the ins and outs of the Ten Commandments. I would be here for the next 20 years giving you the Ten Commandments, what the computer can do in 3 minutes. You know that. And also, you receive stuff, and I know that you have, and I don't wish to criticize anybody as such, but I think it would be wise if some of the things you receive in the mail that come from certain traditional centers, I think you would be wise if you pitch them in the wastebasket directly. Directly. Don't read them. Because today we're making use of the computer, and if you look closely, some of these things that you receive are nothing in the world but computer printouts. Computer printouts. There's nobody, heavens to Betsy, nobody can have that kind of information in one's head. It's not possible. So be careful what you receive, be careful what you read, and our tendency is to look at the one side of the coin without looking at the other side of the coin and come up with only part of the answer. And we go home and we are uncertain, we are confused, we are worried, we're scared, we don't know what to do, we don't know which way to turn. The thing is, simply, your reason, your purpose is to learn Jesus Christ and Him crucified and apply Him to the salvation of your soul, period. If the others want to rave and rant and prove and debate, you know, let them do it. Your purpose, my purpose, is to pray. And all I can say is, dear Lord, we had the perfect example today of the poor old man who sat in the back of the church. I can't stay away from that gospel completely. So please allow me. The first man did all the talking, didn't he? And the first man reminded God of how absolutely Mr. Wonderful he was. I do this, I do that. I'm not like these people. I'm better than they are, because I do this and I do that. Don't you notice, Lord, how good I am? Aren't you happy with me? Aren't you pleased that there is somebody like me left in the world? I'm a very, very excellent person, Lord. Lord, don't ever forget that. The other man simply said, I'm your unworthy servant. And walked out. Now, dear people, the only thing that you have to keep in mind is this. The only thing, that each and every one of you in here, including two priests that are in here, each and every one of us in here, individually speaking, is a completely unworthy servant. And don't you ever forget that. And if you keep that in mind, you will save your souls.
That's all.
You are an unworthy servant. You will always be an unworthy servant. No matter how many fasts you have, how many pilgrimages you make, how many visions you have, how many anything you've got, you still remain an unworthy servant. Don't you ever, ever forget that. Because the minute you do, of course today our Lord only spoke of justification, because that's all he had to give at this moment in his life. He could not yet give sanctification, could he? You were gone justified, unjustified. So, if you read these bulletins, don't read them once and put them down. You read them a half a dozen times, slowly. Each time, you're going to pick out something else, and something else, and something else. They will tell you something. I am not the total author. I've adjusted them, perhaps. But nothing new has been printed in years and years and years and years and years. And I am not inventing anything that has not already been said. I take credit for none of it. I only want to present to you whatever it takes to cause you to come to grips with yourself in a proper manner so that you can save your immortal souls and present to your children an example. Too many children today, when you speak of Christ and the things of Christ, and you make them come to church and they sit through a sermon, they're bored, silly. And we all know that. And if they can sit in a church and be bored, silly, when they hear talk about Christ or God or the salvation of the soul, what does that tell you? That tell you that all interest is dead. And you don't very well bring back to life that which is dead, do you? Time rushes on, and we have got to come to the conclusion of putting things in their proper perspective and keeping them there. God bless you, and God keep you, everyone.